I rise again to join the Senate from Texas and many others on this side of the aisle in strong support of health care liability reform. My father was a medical doctor. He was an obstetrician. And I'm hearing now, and I really am grateful from so many doctors all across America about this question. My father really had no great interest in politics. He voted regularly, I remember that. And I think most physicians find little time to involve themselves into politics. But this is a political question. And we've got to look at it fair and square and call it as it is. On the one hand, America is crying out from every corner of our land, from all 50 states, for relief of the oppressive number of lawsuits brought against the medical profession, a profession who really is not interested in politics. They're only interested in caring for the citizens of this nation. And I'm proud to stand with the distinguished majority leader, Mr. Frist, the distinguished senator from New Hampshire, senator from Texas, and others, time and time again on this floor to urge that this body rise above politics and extend a helping hand to the medical profession. Earlier this year, I was pleased to offer my own amendment on health care liability reform. My amendment, called the Protect the Practice of Medicine Act, was Amendment 2624, but procedural impediments, I have to recognize that we follow the rules around here, prevented the Senate from addressing that bill. My amendment was supported by the American Medical Association, the American College of Surgeons, and a number of other associations representing the men and women in our medical profession. Unfortunately, as I say, a procedural move by the opponents precluded the Senate from voting on it. So I stand today in hopes that there'll be a vote on this measure, because this measure is very much like the one that I put forth, and indeed the goals are common. Opponents of health care liability reform have been using procedural tactics in this body, the United States Senate, to prevent an up and down vote on this issue for many years. The consequences are grave. Men and women continue to leave the practice of medicine due to the high cost of malpractice insurance, and patients continue to lose access to medical health care. We have all heard the real stories from doctors about the rapidly increasing cost of medical malpractice insurance. In some states, Mr. President, malpractice insurance premiums have increased as much as 75% in one single year. Like others in this body, I've received numerous letters from medical professionals from the Commonwealth, Virginia, and from across the nation that share with me the very real difficulties they are encountering with malpractice insurance and the consequences of this problem. Let me read, Mr. President, one of those letters that was sent to me by a doctor in Virginia. The doctor writes, and I quote, "I'm writing you to elicit your support and advice for the acute malpractice crisis going on in Virginia. I'm a 48-year-old single parent of a 14 and 17-year-old. After all the time and money spent training to practice OBGYN, that's obstetrics, my father's profession or specialty, I find myself on the verge of almost certain unemployment and unemployability because of the malpractice crisis. I've been employed by a small OBGYN group of doctors for the last 7 years. Our malpractice premiums were increased by 60% in May of 2003. The prediction from our malpractice insurance carrier is that our rates will probably double at our next renewal date, May 2004, just weeks away. The reality is that we will not be able to keep the practice open and cover the malpractice insurance along with other expenses of our medical practice." Another letter writes, and I quote from it, "Due to the rapid increase," this one came from the Midwest, "due to the rapid increase in premiums, the crisis is one of affordability and availability of insurance for physicians. The result of this is premature retirement. physicians moving to more favorable areas, that is, moving from one state to another state, discontinuing high-risk procedures, that's medical procedures, or finding other ways to make a living outside of medicine. All of this, of course, affects the patients who have increasing difficulty finding medical care, end quote. Letter after letter. Time Magazine and Newsweek have thoroughly detailed the crisis doctors are facing across America. I brought the two issues which are recently right here. One entitled, Lawsuit Hell. A second, The Doctor is Out. It's being discussed all across America. And that's why I think it's so imperative that this institution, the United States Senate, be given the opportunity to vote on this issue. In June of 2003, Time Magazine had a cover story on the effects of rising malpractice insurance rate. The story entitled, quote, The Doctor is Out, end quote, discusses several doctors all across America who've had to either stop practicing medicine or had to take other action due to increased insurance premiums. One example cited in Time's article is the case of Dr. Mary Emma Barris. Time reports that, and I quote, Dr. Barris, a family practitioner in Sparta, North Carolina, has always loved delivering babies. But last year, Dr. Barris, 35 years old, concluded that she couldn't afford the tripling of her $17,000 malpractice premium and had to stop. With just one obstetrician left in town for high-risk cases, some women who need C-sections now must take a 40-minute ambulance ride elsewhere, end quote. Dr. Barris' case makes clear that not only doctors are being affected by the medical malpractice crisis, but patients as well. With increased frequency due to rising malpractice rates, more and more patients are not able to find the medical specialists they need in their community or in a neighboring community and have to travel long distances or even go out of state to other states where there's been a closer control on the types of lawsuits that generate the need for these exorbitant, but I expect the companies calculate they have to have it, these rates. Newsweek magazine also recently had a cover story on the medical liability crisis. That cover story entitled Lawsuit Hell. I was particularly struck by the feature in this magazine about a doctor from Ohio who saw his malpractice premiums rise in 1 year from $12,000 to $57,000. As a result, this doctor, and I quote from the article, quote, decided to lower his bill by cutting out higher risk procedures like vasectomies, setting broken bones, and delivering babies, even though obstetrics was his favorite part of practice. Now he glances wistfully at the cluster of baby photos still tacked on the wall in his office. I miss that terribly, he says. While these stories are compelling on their own, the consequences of this malpractice crisis can even be greater. February 11, 2003, a woman by the name of Ms. Lean Dice of Gulfport, Mississippi, shared with both the HELP Committee, distinguished committee, the chairman of which is present here managing this bill, and the Judiciary Committee, her very personal story about how this crisis has affected her. She told us how on July 5, 2002, her husband Tony was involved in a single car accident. He was rushed to the hospital in Gulfport where he had head injuries and received medical attention. Tony could not be treated at the Gulfport hospital because they didn't have the specialist necessary to take care of him. After a 6-hour wait, he was airlifted to the University Medical Center. Today, Tony is permanently brain damaged. And Mr. President, I'll ask unanimously to place in the record a number of other personal histories and stories about this problem.
Without objection.
In hopes that this institution can live up to its responsibility as duly elected representatives of people of this country and respond to the cries of the people of this country to address this situation.